was going to be up here and preaching for me this morning, but one day. I'm just so excited to have this opportunity, but between Christmas and New Year's, to just slow down and hit pause and to reflect on the year. Like, this past year has been incredible, and I just realized I was going to download the TikTok video to show you guys, but I forgot to do that. So on your own time, check out Facebook, Instagram, or TikTok, and Amanda put a recap of the year. And what's amazing is just watching those videos sometimes, you realize, wow, there was a lot of things happening, and there were a lot of good things that happened. We celebrated 5 baptisms. We saw over 20 people commit to following Jesus. We've seen new people join the church and be part of it and just engage with the community. And I'm just so thankful for what Jesus is doing in and through our church. And I'm praying for his blessing as we go into a brand new year. So this morning, what I want to do is I want this to be an opportunity to reflect, to take time to look back on the year, but also prepare our hearts for what's ahead. Now, there might be some things that we have to grieve and let go of from this past year, but whatever it is, whatever you're bringing in, just take some time to bring that before God now. And we're going to have some worship. Kids, we're going to dismiss you down to your kids' zone a little bit later in the service after some worship, and you guys are going to watch a Christmas movie down there. And for the little learners, I think they're maybe already down in there, but they're welcome to watch the movie or also be with my mom in the nursery and play with some toys in there. But as we begin our time together, I want to take a moment to read Psalm 90, verses 12 and 14. It says, "Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days." And then in Psalm 100, it says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." So as we prepare to wrap up 2024, let's do so in worship and thanksgiving in God's faithfulness. It doesn't mean the year hasn't been hard. It doesn't mean that there's things that we don't have to grieve and let go of, but in all of it, we can come together and worship Jesus, the one who has been faithful through it all. So let's take a moment to pray, and then we're going to stand together and we're going to sing a couple Christmas carols. So if you'll pray with me, Heavenly Father, as we gather here this morning, we thank you for the gift of this past year, for the joys that have lifted our hearts, the challenges that have shaped us, and for the grace that has sustained us through it all. You have been faithful in every season. And God, we come to you today with our hearts full of gratitude for your unfailing love. So Lord, as we reflect on this past year, we acknowledge that it hasn't been without its difficulties. There are things that we need to grieve and let go of, and we lay them at your feet now, trusting that you are the God who redeems and restores. And as we look to the year ahead, help us rest in the assurance of your presence, that you are with us. Teach us to number our days, that we may live with wisdom and purpose, and fill us with hope, joy, and trust as we step into 2025, knowing that your faithfulness will carry us forward. So in this moment, God, help us to set aside distractions and help us to just lift our voices in worship, giving you the praise you deserve. May our hearts be open to your spirit. May everything we do today bring glory to your name. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. All right. Amen. You can have a seat. I sometimes love video worship because it gives our musicians a break, and it also just exposes us to different styles and different types of worship, and that we're all worshiping the same God. We are worshiping Jesus Christ. I'm going to try something different this morning, and I am going to invite the kids to come forward for a story time just before I send you down to Kids Zone. So kids up to grade 6, come on up. And I want to get your help with something this morning. So have a seat on the floor in front of me. And how about you guys pass out, take a card, and pass it along, and then you guys take a crayon and pass it along so that everyone gets a card and a crayon. So did you guys have a good Christmas? Yeah? Did you guys have a good year this past year? Was it thumbs up or thumbs down? Thumbs up? All right. Well, that's good. So do you guys have anything that you're looking forward to for the new year? Nice. Great Wolf Lodge is a blast. That's awesome. Does anyone else have anything you're looking forward to for the new year? What about you? Yeah, you're going to go to a water park? And are you going to continue in basketball too? Nice. That's awesome. I've seen some photos of you taking shots. You're doing great. Well, I want to tell you guys a story about a boy named Sam. Once upon a time, there was a boy named Sam. That's right. And he had a very special jar in his kitchen. It would be kept on his kitchen table, and they called it the thankful jar. And every time something good happened, the family would write it down at supper, and they would put it in the jar. They'd put it on a piece of paper, just like what you guys have, and they would put it in the thankful jar. So then when the year ended, Sam and his family would sit down together, they'd open the jar up, and they would pull out all the notes, and they would begin reading them. And some of the things they put in there, they laughed about, they were funny memories. Sometimes it was just celebrating birthdays or vacations. And sometimes it even included how God provided for them. But then Sam asked, but what about next year? What if next year is hard? Like, we just had a lot of fun this year and it was a good year, but what if next year's not so good? But his mom smiled and replied and said, Sam, that's the best part. Because just like God is with us this year, he's going to be with us next year too. And we can trust him for all that's ahead. So they took out a new jar and they wrote 2025 on it. And they said a prayer asking God to help fill it with even more blessings. Because you see, the Bible tells us, I have the verse up here. It says, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. His love endures forever. Now, just like Sam's family, I brought this jar, the thankful jar today, but it's empty. So I'd like your help to help fill this jar. So if you guys can write something you're thankful for from this past year, just write it with your crayon on the piece of paper, and then you can put it in this jar as well, and we'll fill it with God's blessings and good memories, and it could even be hard memories, but we'll see how God has been faithful. And adults, I'm going to invite you as well, if you have a connecting card, to also write something you're thankful for from this past year. And when we pass the offering plate later in the service, I'm going to invite you to simply drop it in there as well. And we're all going to get to fill up this jar to be able to give thanks for what God has done in 2024. So think about something you're thankful for. Maybe it was a vacation, a new friend, something you learned, or even something hard that God helped you through. And if you don't know what to write, you can even just draw a picture. And I think one thing that I want to try and do this year is I want to have a thankful jar on Sundays. That when we come on Sundays, that we can write down on a piece of paper something we're thankful for and put it in, and we can watch it fill up as the year goes on. So then this time next year, we'll be able to pull them out and look at all the answered prayers and the way God was faithful to us. But what's awesome about this is this activity helps us actually see God's presence in a very real and tangible way. So just as you're finishing that up, let me pray before you head downstairs. So Heavenly Father, I thank you for these kids, and I thank you for all the blessings you've given us this year, both the big blessings and the small. Thank you for being with us in the fun times and even in the hard times, and for showing us your love every step of the way. God, as we prepare for this new year, help us to remember that you're always with us and to keep our hearts full of gratitude for all that you've done. We love you, Lord. Amen. All right, so if you're finished, put your card in the thankful jar, and you guys can head downstairs to Kids Zone. All right, Auld Lang Syne. Now, it's technically not a Christmas carol, but I thought, what better way to wrap up our series on carols by including this song, because it fits the season, it fits New Year's. And I thought, what better way than to have a Scottish singer also sing that? His name's Nathan Evans, and I discovered him on TikTok when Andrew Lloyd Webber duetted a song with him. And I just wanted to take a moment to have a quick reflection on this song, which encourages and helps us to remember and celebrate the past, both the bonds that we've shared and the experiences that have shaped our lives over the past year and even before then. So what does Auld Lang Syne mean? Well, it's an old Scottish poem from at least the 18th century that's been attributed to a poet by the name of Robert Burns. And he was the first person to write it down. He said as he traveled around Scotland, he began hearing this, and he was the first one to kind of put pen to paper. And the phrase Auld Lang Syne literally means old long since, or in other words, days gone by. And the familiar melody that's sung with it that we know that we just heard, well, it wasn't originally associated with the poem, but it was added later to another traditional Scottish melody. So it picked up quickly around Scotland and then began spreading throughout the world through Scottish immigrants. And the song became linked to New Year's celebrations, thanks to the Scottish immigrants spreading the tradition worldwide. But it was further popularized by a guy named Guy Lombardo, and his band, the Royal Canadians. And they were from London, Ontario. And they performed it on a New Year's Eve broadcast in 1929. And that's what then started spreading Auld Lang Syne. And of course, the most famous line of the song is, "Should old acquaintance be forgot?" And it's this rhetorical question that, should we forget our friendships and memories and experiences that have shaped us? Of course not. Because as we know, the song goes on to emphasize the importance of remembering and honoring these significant relationships and milestones. And this act of remembering isn't just a nostalgic experience. I believe that it's a deeply spiritual practice. In fact, throughout Scripture, it tells us time and time again to remember. After the Exodus, when the Israelites were freed from slavery, they were told, remember this day. And then we're told to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And then there's repeated commands to remember the Lord your God. Remember, remember. And Joshua, he was told to gather the 12 stones and to place them so that the generations would be reminded of God's miraculous provision leading them into the promised land. There's these stones of memory. And then Jesus himself tells us to remember his sacrifice through the practice of communion. And it says, this do in remembrance of me, right there on their communion table. The act of remembering is huge, and it plays such a significant role in our lives. And it's not just about the personal milestones, but it's also about remembering God's faithfulness and provisions. And to be honest, that's what I loved about the reel that Amanda put together from this past year, because when I think back on the year, there's a couple highlights that jump out to me immediately. But then she had like pictures and images of kids at a kids party that I'm like, oh yeah, we ran a kids party. Or then we had a worship night here, and we had a first ever Good Friday service here. And I started remembering more of these things. And I'm like, man, God has really been on the move. And you see people at times and places in certain seasons. And sometimes they stay with you for a while, and other times they move on. And as I talk about remembering, and even sometimes we have to grieve as we remember, it brings to mind little Fiona. She had a solo in our kids musical, and her family was from Africa, and they're not permanent citizens yet, but their mom found work out in Whitby. And right after the musical, her mom messaged Amanda and said, "Thanks for everything you guys have done, but we have to move." And they've already moved off to Whitby in the Oshawa area. But they've said, "Can we continue to watch online?" And we said, "Absolutely. It's not live, but we do record and then post it later." So we're hoping to keep those things. But again, sometimes it's just seasons where people are in the right place at the right time, and they come along and support you. And God uses all of these things. And I believe that he used us as a church family to support Fiona and Faith and the rest of their family here in Binbrook for that season. But Psalm 77, 11 to 12 says, "I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on all your works and consider all your mighty deeds." Remembering is so important. And knowing and understanding scripture is so important. That helps us to remember the deeds of the Lord from long ago, because we can also look through the pages of scripture and see how God showed up time and time again. I believe the reason remembering is so important is because there's power in remembering. When we take time to remember, it helps us see God's presence in our lives. When we pause to look back, we can see how God has been present, even in the seasons of difficulty. And maybe at the time, it felt like he was far away, and you're wondering, where is God in the midst of this? But hindsight is often 20/20. And we can often see his hand guiding us and providing for us and carrying us through. For example, think about a time this past year when something unexpected happened, a moment when you didn't know how things would turn out, but then looking back, you can see how God was at work. I've shared this story before, but before God called us to Binbrook to plant a church here, Amanda was expecting Kinsley, and I had just finished my master's degree, and I was applying for different jobs and working for my family, and nothing was opening up. And Amanda, I still remember crying one night saying, "How are we even going to afford a crib?" And I'm like, "I don't know, but God's got us." And here we are. Like, it's so easy to look back now and say, of course God had us. But sometimes you have to remember those moments and be reminded. A year later, after that, I had always told Amanda that if it's going to put us in financial hardship, I'll walk away. And it was the beginning of December, and I went to my brother because I was working for my family, and I said, "Rob, I'd like to keep this arrangement going, and I'd like to keep working for you a few days a week and then work with the church a couple days a week." And he kind of looked at me with fear in his eyes, and he said, "I can't afford you. I thought this was a one-year thing. Like, you're up the end of December." And I'm like, "Oh man, this is awkward." And I walked out of his office, and I'm calling Steve at our sponsor church and Bren, and no one's picking up their phone. So I finally call Amanda and say, "Okay, I guess it's time to pack our bags, because I won't put us in a position that's going to see us harmed." And then I get a call, or an email actually, from Wendy, our old bookkeeper. And she said, "Hey, I don't know if you know this, but someone just donated $10,000 to your church, and this actually might allow you to start working 4 days a week with the church." And I'm like, "What?" Like, and that was kind of the boost that suddenly moved me to 4 days a week, and then eventually 5 days a week. And again, here we are. But it's taking time to remember those things and then trust God that he's going to do the same again. Not necessarily in the same way. It might not be another $10,000 donation, but he's going to show up. So it helps us see God's presence in our lives. The second thing is remembering builds our faith for the future. When we remember how God has been faithful in the past, it strengthens our trust for what's ahead. The same God who provided for you yesterday will provide for you tomorrow. He is with you. You are not alone. And this is why the Bible constantly calls us to remember, because God knows how easy it is for us to forget his faithfulness, especially when we face new challenges. It's like suddenly what we had just experienced, we're like, ah, now we're terrified. And God's like, no, remember, I'm with you. And then the power of remembering, well, it celebrates the people and the moments that God has placed in our lives to help shape us. And there are so many people that God has placed in my life to help shape me. Life isn't lived in isolation. God places people in our lives at specific times. Family, friends, coworkers, even strangers sometimes, who simply come along and maybe give us an encouraging word or help support us and get us out of a stuck situation. And when we take time to remember those relationships and moments and shared experiences, I believe it helps deepen our gratitude and strengthens those bonds. So if we're gonna talk about remembering, we should probably take time for remembering, because it doesn't just happen automatically. In fact, I'm probably one of the worst at it. My father-in-law is a very reflective person, and he'll say, what have you learned from this last year? And what are your five-year goals? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't even know what I'm having for lunch today. Like, but today, I want us to take a moment to reflect on the past year. So I've put together a few questions to help us. What's one thing from this past year that you're grateful for? It might be something big, like a huge milestone. It might be something small but meaningful, like a kind word that made a difference. Or how have you seen God's faithfulness in your life this year? Maybe through an answered prayer, a door opened, simply the strength to keep going sometimes. Who are the people or relationships that have shaped your year? Think about the friends, family, or even the new connections that God has used to encourage you, or maybe challenge you or support you. And then what bonds or shared experiences are you thankful for? Maybe it's a tradition, a moment of reconciliation, or maybe a challenge that you faced with others that brought you closer together. So I just want to take a moment now to just think about one or two of these questions. And then I want us to celebrate and remember what he's done. So after a moment of reflection, if you feel comfortable, I'm not going to make anyone, but I would love for you, one or two people, to share. But I know, especially any introverts here, you're thinking like, oh my goodness, I can't do this. We're not going to make you. You can breathe. We won't glare. But let's just take a moment now to think about some of these questions. Right. Well, as we've taken time to reflect and celebrate on the ways that God has been faithful in the past, it naturally leads us to ask, what's next? What does the new year hold? What does 2025 hold? And the truth is, none of us really know for sure. Life is full of uncertainty, surprises, joys, challenges. But here's what we do know. The same God who has been faithful in the past will be faithful in the future. Just like Sarah was just sharing with us. We don't have to be anxious. We don't have to be fearful. We can step into the new year with confidence, with hope, with trust. So as we prepare for the new year, let's reframe our perspective. And the idea of stepping into the future with faith and hope is captured beautifully by a song put together by a band named King's Kaleidoscope. We sang it last year, and they take this familiar melody of Auld Lang Syne, and they give it new meaning by reframing it with a truth that grounds us as followers of Jesus. Everything we do and everything we hope for and everything we are is for his glory. So this song, All Glory Be to Christ, reminds us that our lives are not about building our own kingdoms, but about glorifying Jesus in everything. So let's listen to it together. Isn't that beautiful? The theme of the song echoes the truth from Psalm 127, verse 1, which says, unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. And it's a humbling reminder that no matter how hard we work or try or how carefully we plan, our efforts only have meaning when it's grounded in Jesus Christ. And I know most of us, we're maybe thinking of goals and resolutions for the new year. And at the end of the day, it's not about what we can accomplish, but it's about our aligning our lives with God's purposes and seeking His glory above all else. And I just love how this song invites us to reflect on the foundation of our lives. What are we building it on? Are we trying to do it all on our own strength? Or are we allowing Christ to be our foundation? Are we chasing our own ambitions? Or are we aligning our work, our relationships, and our dreams with Jesus' will? So as we step into 2025, this song challenges us to ask, how can we live for God's glory in the coming year? And how can we trust Him more deeply with our future? When we center our lives on Jesus, we can look ahead with confidence, knowing that He is the one who holds all things together. The final verse of the song says, when on that day the great I am, the faithful and the true, the Lamb who was for sinners slain is making all things new. That is the hope we cling to for 2025. And not just for 2025, but for eternity. Our lives aren't defined by what we accomplish this year or throughout our lives. They're defined by the eternal kingdom of Jesus Christ that He is building, that where He is making all things new. And it's this powerful truth that allows us to move forward with confidence. So let's take some time to reflect on what it means to trust Christ with our future. What does it mean to live for His glory in 2025 and to seek His glory in all that we do? So a few questions we can ask is, what is one hope or prayer you have for 2025? Where do you feel God calling you to trust Him more in the new year? And how can you glorify Christ in your everyday life in 2025? So you can finish your time praying and discussing, but I'm just going to close in prayer, and then we'll sing one more song together. But Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful for the relationships and the bonds and the shared experiences amongst us this morning. We come before You with hearts full of gratitude for all that You've done in the past and with hope for all that You're going to do in the year ahead. So thank You for the time we've just shared, lifting our prayers to You and encouraging one another in faith. And as we step into this new year, help us to keep our eyes fixed on You, the author and perfecter of our faith. Remind us daily that unless You build the house, our efforts are in vain. So teach us to trust You more deeply, to seek Your glory in all that we do, and to walk boldly into the future with confidence in Your faithfulness. So Lord, may You be our vision, our wisdom, and our guide in every decision we make and in every step we take. Let our hearts and lives reflect Your goodness and love to the world around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.